a front row seat to the untold stories as we talk about how to live life on your terms. You're officially part of the inner circle. Welcome to Courtside with Courtney. And don't worry, I comped your ticket. Welcome back to another episode of Courtside with Courtney. Today, we're going to get into something that it appears a lot of people struggle with. And thankfully, I do not. And I am here to help because I'm here for the girlies. You guys know I got you every single time. Honestly, though, if you're a dude, I don't really think men listen to my podcast. But if you are, this would be helpful for you, too. I think this is true of anyone breaking up with anyone or anyone who has been broken up with. If you want to know how to get over a breakup, this episode is for you. Let's get into it. I think that I get over people in record speed because I do this sort of formulaic list of things. Let me preface this by saying this helps me and it has helped a lot of people. Different strokes for different folks, as they say. So this might not work for you, but I really do think that if you do this and you do this in the way that I am suggesting that you do it, you will get over people easily. You feel the emotions, you let them go, and then you're also faced with the reality of who someone is and what your relationship is and was, not what you thought it was or wanted it to be. And the minute that you make that distinction, you've made so much headway. The biggest problem that I see most people having is that they have this sort of glorified, perfect storybook, movie, rom-com version of the person they were dating and their relationship in their mind. And that is really hard to let go of because you're envisioning an entire future together and what you could have had and what you thought you were going to have and all these things that you were supposed to do and the kids you were going to have and the names and the house and the with the coffee. And at the end of the day, like that wasn't the reality. Because if this was really your person, what is for you won't pass you by. If this was really your person, it wouldn't have ended. They wouldn't have been acted how they acted. They wouldn't have cheated. You wouldn't have like needed to end it. They wouldn't have broken up with you. Like whatever the reasons are for the relationship ending, it wouldn't have ended if it was the right person for you. Let me caveat this by saying, of course, there are scenarios where people break up and they get back together and they end up being with that person. That absolutely can happen. Timing is a huge factor here. And if someone hasn't really done something wrong to wrong you and you end up getting back together with them, like it can happen. It's just a small majority. As a general rule of thumb, you want to apply the rule, not the exception. So there are exceptions to the fact that, yes, people can break up and end up back together and be really happy together if they work on themselves and the breakup was a timing thing or a distance thing and they come back around and it works out. Absolutely can happen. And I know that I will get people commenting on this being like, my husband broke up with me and then we got back together and we have been married for 15 years and we have 17 kids. And I love that for you. And I can absolutely happen. It is more rare. So let me talk about the people that we break up with or that break up with us or that enter into our lives and then need to exit stage left permanently. Okay. So it is possible, of course, for it to still work out. I have good friends who broke up for like, you know, a month and they got back together. They're married. They're amazing together. It happens, but rarely. So let's talk about how to really get over a breakup. I wrote down these steps because I was really thinking through like what I do and why I think it's so effective because it's genuine. It's not like a brush it under the rug thing. And I don't think about it. Like I think about it. I analyze it and then I very logically release it. Number one, reality. I want you guys to take a very deep dive into the reality of who this person is, who they were in your relationship, who they are versus who you thought they were or who you wanted them to be, because typically those two people are not the same. The person that you romanticized and dreamt about and cheered for and rooted for and tried to elevate them and pulled them up by their bootstraps and fucking, you know, prayed every single night that this person would be, they are not. So first thing I'm going to do is give you a dose of reality. If you want to get over someone, you need a dose of reality. You need to realize that they weren't what you thought. If they were really your person, you wouldn't be in this situation. They wouldn't have treated you like shit. They wouldn't be manipulative. They wouldn't have done XYZ things to get you feeling so upset. So let me first say, a dose of reality. And the reason, the way that we do this is we make a list. So you should have your list by now, if you listen to the podcast, of all the things that you want for somebody. We're kind of going to manifest who you want here. So all the things, all the non-negotiables, all the things that get you excited, all the things that you really want. You don't need to share this list, but make the list. You don't need to live and die by it. I will say there are a couple non-negotiables on my list that every single time I have strayed from those and said, you know what? One of my non-negotiables is has to have a job they like, period. Because when you don't have a job you like, you're miserable. You complain about it frequently, men at least. And it's difficult. And since I do love my job, that's always been a personal thing for me, a point of contempt and friction for me in relationships. If people are miserable in their jobs, it's really hard. Everybody has hard days, but if you overall hate your job and you still have done nothing about it, that is hard for me personally in a relationship. So that's one of my non-negotiables. Anytime I've said, you know what, Courtney, this person feels great. They seem great. In all other ways, they just have a job they don't like. Give them a go. Just give it a chance. As my mom would say, the great Liz would say, no good deed goes unpunished. And every fucking time I set out and I give someone a chance that I know I shouldn't have given a chance to, it bites me in the ass every time. Period. It does not work out every time. And it comes back to that. It always resurfaces back to that. So if there's something on your list of non-negotiables, stick to it. Now then there's the things you really want. Well, I really want a guy that's tall. Well, what if they're not tall? It's not a non-negotiable. It's a silly non-negotiable, right? Now, are they kind? That's not a silly non-negotiable. So make your list of really things that are absolutely non-negotiables and then like your fun list. Like I really, you know what? I'd be like super down for a tan and some blue eyes, but it's not a non-negotiable, you know? So make sure that there's a list of things that are absolutely must be great with my daughter, must be kind, must have a job they like. Like those are the musts, and then make the wishes, the wants and the needs. Okay. Separate those two out. That is a list. That is one notes section, or that is a page in your journal or five pages in your journal or whatever. You're very clear about that. Now, I want you to put a different hat on. And now I want you to make a list of everything this person was. Yep. Now you're getting it. So now I want you to make a list of everything this person was. And you're going to start to realize when you put the two lists side by side, oh shit, this non-negotiable is, I just got chills because this is how true this is. This non-negotiable is has a job they like. On my list, it's has a job they hate and complains about it constantly and has not taken the action to find a job they like. I'm looking over here on my list. On my list of absolutely must have things is must be really kind. Well, now I'm looking on my list of this person and it's yells at me when they get angry, inconvenienced, calls me names. Well, that's not kind. So, and you start to realize you go down your list and now you're realizing, oh, this wasn't what I thought it was. This person wasn't who I saw them as because I put them up on this pedestal. Got to take accountability for that too. I put them up on this pedestal. And because I did that, I projected these things onto them that they were not. And so now they were not these things. And now it is so easy. Like I get in the podcast right now. You're cured. You're welcome. It is so easy to get over somebody when you start to realize like who they really were. I value someone that is consistent and they show up for me. Well, this person was inconsistent and they never showed up for me. I didn't feel loved and supported and they couldn't be on time. They didn't even text me and tell me they weren't on time. Well, that's not shows up for me and is loving and supportive. So you start to realize that there's all these mismatches of the list of wants and needs and the reality of the person that you were dating. And then you start to realize, man, this is not what I thought that it was. And when you detach your projection of someone, your hope and dream for that person from the reality of who they are, you can get over them pretty much instantly because you realize that you're grieving the loss of what you thought you had found, not the person individually. And then it becomes you versus you. Now you're grieving with yourself the loss of what you thought you wanted and what you thought you were going to have, not this person. Now I don't need closure from them. I got closure for myself now. That, if I could give you guys one takeaway from this whole breakup thing, like it would be that. Really start to detach what they, who they are and who they showed you they were from what you wanted them to be and what you hoped they would be, because that's not who they are. And the reality is when you separate those two things, everything becomes infinitely more easy. So I would say step one in how to get over a breakup like a pro is reality dose of reality. Make the lists, do it, cross-reference them. You're going to realize. Now, look, let me say this. If you were in the very, 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 very small percentile of people who found this person and they were every single thing on your list, you need to evaluate what you did wrong or where you need to learn and grow. Because it's always going to take two people, which I'm going to come to in a minute. But for the most part, you're going to start to feel those mismatches in the list. Oh, I thought they were this, but they were actually this. Now I don't need to get over them. I need to get over the idea of them. So those two things separate Peter Pan from his shadow, you know? Now you're going to go and you're going to grieve it. So now you have this thought of, okay, now I need to go and I need to grieve what I thought was going to happen because I thought that I was going to end up with this person, but I'm not. And that's okay because I didn't actually find what I thought I found. If you were digging in the sand or swimming in the ocean and you found a treasure chest and you pull the treasure chest up and you're like, oh, I'm set for life. I found this treasure chest. It is beautiful and it's gold and it's sparkly. And then you swim it all the way to the beach and it's difficult and it's hard and you get it there and you push it up into the sand. And all of a sudden you open up the treasure chest and it's filled with shit. You're not going to want it anymore. So remember to think if you just found in the ocean a treasure chest filled with shit or if you actually found treasure. Okay. And then you're going to analyze it. Now you're going to think, what did I like about this person? What did draw me to them? Where were they great? Where were they good? Where were we compatible? Was it the chemistry? Was it compatibility? Was it, what did I like? What are the positive takeaways? What are the negative takeaways? The reason you need to do this is you don't want to have a pendulum swing. My mom opened my eyes to this years ago, and I have never like really had, I never broken up with someone the same way because of it. You don't want to have a pendulum swing. Because what happens when you don't analyze a relationship, for better or worse, is you swing the pendulum the other way. So if I'm in a relationship and I break up with this person because they're not very nice, they have anger issues, et cetera. Now the pendulum, if I don't analyze this relationship, now the pendulum swings. And I did this for years until I realized this. Now the pendulum swings the other way. And now, because that was the pain point in this relationship, now I'm hyper-focused on, I don't want someone that's angry and that yells and it's this and that. So now I need someone that's calm and relaxed and chill. And now I have found someone that is calm and relaxed and chill, but they don't have anything else on my list. Or maybe they have a handful of things, but not all the things. And now they're boring. And now I'm bored. And I'm unhappy again. And then the pendulum swings back the other way. So you have to make sure you're not pendulum swinging. And you do this by analyzing. So when you can actually analyze the relationship, the good and the bad of that person, what worked, what didn't work about them, what did and didn't work for you and with you, and where you contributed. Were you insecure? Were they really trustworthy and you didn't trust them? And that was a pain point. Like, where are the places that you also could have done better? So analyze them, you, and you two as a pair. That's step number two, or step number three. Reality, grieve it, analyze it. Now we're going to let it go. We're just going to exhale. It's just, all right, that didn't work out. So the cool thing about what happens when you let it go is now there's time for a new story. And this is really the most exciting part. Like, I joke that, and I get that this sounds like a little savage because it is. I love a breakup. I get a little excited by a breakup, shake it up a little bit, because at the end of the day, a breakup means possibility. And if you are not happy present day, which you're not, if you're in a breakup, you have the possibility of anything, anyone, anywhere. You could be on a plane on the way to Italy and you meet the love of your life. You could be at a coffee shop and he comes up and orders you coffee. You could be at a pickleball tournament. You could be at a bar. You could be walking across the street. You could be set up by a friend. You could be anywhere, anytime and meet anyone. And it could be that person. And it could be the most amazing person for you in the best possible circumstance and scenario and situation. And so the possibility is exciting. And so after you have had the dose of reality, you've grieved the loss of what you thought you wanted, you've analyzed it so you don't do the pendulum swing, you've exhaled and let it go, you've imagined what a new story could be, now you have endless positivity and potential and possibility. And that is very fucking exciting. So So now that you know how to get over someone pretty much instantly, I asked you guys on Instagram what you had question-wise, as far as pain points for you guys, if you had specific examples of things that you were struggling with, you needed help with. So let's dive into some of y'all's questions and answer these. How to move past what you thought your future would look like, not necessarily the person. This is exactly what I touched on in the beginning, which is so cool. So you do that by separating the two. And you do that by letting yourself grieve it. Be sad. It's okay. You don't need to get out there and like sleep with someone else the next day and then be like instantly sad the next morning. And like, that's not what you need to do. It's good to go out and flirt with people. I won't lie on that one. Like, I do think it helps. But it's one of those things where grieve it, let yourself feel it. And then move past it. Can't really avoid it. If you avoid things and suppress them, they bubble back up later. I've done it. Trust me, I've tried. But they come back later. Going through a divorce, how to move forward, how to co-parent, how to start the next chapter. This is like a very complex question. I would say how to co-parent is a tough one. It's hard. It's really hard. Because at the end of the day, you divorce this person. So obviously you're not like their biggest fan, right? There's obviously enough friction there for you to get divorced in the first place. I would say it's the most helpful to lead with kindness, lead with putting your kid first always. It's not about me. In my situation, it's not about me. It's not about Alex. It's about Kinsley. What's the best case scenario, best possible outcome for Kinsley within our interactions? Looking at it through that lens, what's the best thing for your kid allows you to not get in your own way and be offended by someone else, you know, their tone or their this or their that. It doesn't really matter. It's not about you. So treat it a little bit more businessy and minimize interactions at first. Just talk about what you need to talk about. Get things done. And then focus on your child because that's what is most important. Making them feel loved and happy and safe and healthy. And co-parenting through that lens means, sure, you both show up to the soccer game. Sure, of course you can come play on the playground with us afterwards because that's what my kid has asked, you know, and that's what the best case scenario is. So I think look at it through the lens of what is best for your kid and kind of it is a case where you have to put your own feelings, emotionals, and dislike aside. Should you stay in a marriage for the kids? I don't want the kids to suffer. I cannot ever tell someone, and I do not ever want to be the person, I'll be clear, to tell someone you should get a divorce. It's not my place to tell that to you because I don't know your situation. I'm not a fly on your wall and I don't want that kind of pressure, to be honest, or responsibility for someone else's relationship. Like, I can't give you that answer. Unfortunately, I wish I could, but I don't wish I could, but I wish I could help and I will try to help with the way that I'm going to respond to this. But my own personal belief is only you were able to make that decision for you and only I was able to make it for me. Now, I did therapy. We did therapy. I did all the things I felt like I could do. So I'd say, one, do everything that you possibly can in your control and power to feel as though you have done everything you possibly can in your control and power. Secondly, I think you need to ask yourself, if you're thinking about the kids, is it better or worse for them? In my case, I felt like showing Kinsley what a strong, confident, grounded woman, like I felt like that was what was going to be better for her. To me, staying for the kids, if you are unhappy, if you are fighting, if you're arguing, if you're showing them that is what love is, that is deeply detrimental, in my opinion. I think having two happier households is better than one miserable household. That's just me. But again, do everything in your power. There are times and situations where it's really not that bad. And there are ways you can work on it. And you haven't gone to therapy and you really haven't tried and they really haven't tried. And like, stay and do everything that you can. But if you feel as though you've done absolutely everything that you can and you are now in a situation where it isn't the best environment for your kid, then I think you need to do, you know, the right thing for you in that situation. Hopefully that was at least kind of helpful. Girlfriend socials, and you're making yourself hurt like that. Blocker. Just don't look at it. It sucks. Everyone has that like human curiosity and we're all going to sit there and like look at it. But the minute that you start comparing yourself or trying to put her down, like you're only bringing that toxicity into your life. I always say, do not even look at his socials. I love to block an ex. Block him. If you don't have the self-control to not look, block them all. Cause she's probably looking at you too. Literally just not comparing my current life to how it was prior to a breakup 1.5 years ago. if you are comparing yourself to your life a year and a half ago and you don't like where it is now, that's a self-work moment. That's a moment where you need to check in with yourself. Where, how are the buckets? How's the family bucket? How's the friend bucket? How's the health and wellness bucket? How's the extracurricular hobby bucket? How's my career bucket looking? Look at your other buckets and fill those up instead of putting all of your personal value and validation in a relationship. Because right now I can tell you, someone could come in and come out of my life and I'm good because I'm so happy in the other areas of my life. So once the other buckets are full or pretty full, you feel when the one bucket is low, you feel it a lot less. So pour back into yourself and think of ways where you can kind of elevate your own self and ways you could be happier, whether it's other people that you're surrounding yourself with, signing up for activities, that kind of thing. Like, do other things that are filling you up that don't have anything to do with a breakup or a guy. My husband emotionally cheated with his ex-wife. Oof, we co-parent with her. It's hard to work with her now. I don't blame you. First of all, I'm sorry because that's really hard. I honestly can't imagine how difficult that is. I don't know if I could do that. I think at the end of the day, depends what it was. Like, depends what it was said. Like, was it, like, were you there? Did you read something? Like, what were the context of it? But I understand that it is really hard for you to work with her now. I think that would be brutal for anyone. I think some kind of therapy would be great. I also think making sure that there's some harder boundaries there. You know, I think boundaries will be your friend in this case. God, that, bleep this out, please. Like, take this whole part out, but that fucking sucks. There's like not a good answer for that. How to have a relationship with your ex's new girlfriend, in parentheses, for the kids. I think it can be difficult at first when you're establishing it because it's someone else new coming into the dynamic. If you are the new girlfriend, wife, et cetera, and there is an ex-girlfriend, wife, whatever involved and you have kids together, I would say making sure that you don't step on someone's toes is pretty major. Making sure that you're being respectful of the mom of the kids is super important. As the mom, like with someone with a biological kid, when someone comes into that role and they're respectful and they say, like, I'll kind of let you lead on this, like, any advice, I would love it. Like, that's so much easier to come in. Now I want to show you the ropes. Now I want to help you and I want to take you under my wing. Because I think, like, the reality is if you divorce someone, it's like, I don't want to be with you. I divorced you. That's the point, you know, not to be harsh, but it is what it is. And if so, someone else is coming into that role as the biological mom, I want the absolute best case scenario for my child in that case. I want someone to love her and to be there and to be helpful. And like, I want my ex to be happy, genuinely do. And so I think it's easier for everybody when everybody gets along, but I would say start with just being genuine and ramp up from there. It's not going to be like an instant thing per se, but just have good communication. Try not to get jealous or feel insecure because if they're not together for a reason. And go from there. How to get over someone gaslighting you. You just don't deal with them. Like, just excommunicate them because they will always gaslight you. They'll make you feel like shit about yourself in little manipulative ways and you just don't have time for that. So excommunicate them, grow your own confidence and self-esteem and just like don't even give them the access to you that they obviously no longer deserve. My sister is in a super toxic, awful relationship and she is refusing to see it. What do I do? Unfortunately, we cannot make people's choices for them. I wish we could sometimes because it's really hard to see somebody that you love hurting. I think the best thing that you can do is come from a place of kindness and honesty. Hey, I really, really want to talk to you. Here's what I've observed. I love you. I want to preface this by saying I love you and I'm here for you no matter what you choose to do. But here's what I have observed. This person is doing XYZ things. You're acting XYZ ways. This is making, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, show all the red flags. Present them with the facts and information. Say, you know, I know this is not easy to hear. I am here if you want to talk about it. And if you need help in this situation, I'm here. I will be here to support you no matter what. But I can tell you from an outside perspective that this is not good for you. So I would say that from like a place of love and like, look, I'm going to be here. You're going to make your own decision. Because now they know whether she listens or not. Like eventually, if the situation does escalate to that point, then she knows you're there. And then you've also voiced your opinions. Unfortunately, you can't force her to do anything that she's not wanting to do or see something she's unwilling to recognize. What do I think contributes to good sex? Okay. I know we were going there, ladies. Honesty, open communication, vulnerability, feeling emotionally like seen by someone. Like to me, there's nothing hotter than that connection. You have to have the physicality of it, but there's nothing hotter than feeling understood. So connecting on other levels helps you connect in that way. Struggling with the idea of 50-50 custody. This is like turning to a whole relationship episode. I think that's like a whole separate episode, although I'm not an authority on co-parenting, do my best, but struggling with the idea of 50-50 custody and not having my boys every day anymore. Yeah, I'll be really honest with you guys. It fucking sucks. Like it's hard. It's really hard. I miss Kinsley every single day that I don't have her. It's just a reality. Now, do I think I made the right decision? 100%. Does it still suck for that purpose? 100%. So you got to kind of ask yourself, what's the lesser of two evils, for lack of a better way to say that? I stand by my decision and know that it was right for me and believe that it was right for Kins. However, it's difficult no matter how you slice it. The silver lining here is you get to be you. And so much of us as mothers is we completely wrap our whole identity in our kids. And it is also okay to be head over heels, smitten, would take a bullet, murder somebody for your kid any day of the week, and have a career, and have friends, and have a love life. Those two things can and should simultaneously exist. And so making lemonade out of lemons is like, you do have the capacity to ground yourself and really like be you. You're always a mom every day. So it's like, I'm always at the soccer games and at the, you know, the practice, and I go to lunch, school lunch every week, and I volunteer every week. I would say that too. I would say also incorporating in other ways to see your kids on the off weeks has been really great for me. Like I volunteer at the library. I bring lunch every week. I do things like that go to soccer. That way I have like touch points throughout the week. And that's been really helpful, but it just does suck. And it is really jarring. Like the downside to the week on, week off thing is like, it's hard to get in a rhythm and routine of that, of being like on and solo parenting and everything is like on you 100%. And then like, they're not there for the week and you don't have any of that. And then you go back and you have it all 100% and then you don't have it. It's really challenging. It's still hard for me. You know, he's not the one, but you do love him. It could be good, but you're settling. I mean, you know what I'm going to say about this. You know what I'm going to say about this. Leave his ass yesterday. Sorry to this man. However, if you're settling, if you think you're settling now and you're not even married, you are going to be miserable. Sorry to be harsh, but you're going to be miserable. Absolutely. If you already feel like you're settling, you are. Do not under any circumstances enter into that situation. It's okay if he's nice and kind and cool. And I love that for him. And he's going to find someone that's better suited for him as well, because he deserves that too. But the more time and energy you spend closing yourself off because you are committed to someone else, the more time you waste actually finding that person that's right for you. And judging by the way that the message read, I think you know you're settling. So if you already know you're settling, it's okay to love somebody and have them not be the one for you. They say we have a couple loves in our lifetime, and maybe that was just a different one, but not the one. And that's okay too. My hubby is DMing a girl I don't know and flirting. He claims she's a friend and he's being nice. No. It's a no from me, dog. If he's like obviously flirting with some girl that you guys don't even know, red flag. 100% red flag. I would obviously have a conversation with him. Kind of sounds like a potential therapy situation, because I don't trust this man as far as I can throw him. Sorry to say, I don't like that for you at all. And there's also just no reason like for him to be DMing a girl, especially if you guys are fully like full blown married and you don't even know who this is, like a friend from where. It's going to be a no for me. All my friends hate him, but I still want him to fix things. What do I do? I don't think I have enough context to really give you my best possible answer for this, but it's not nothing if all your friends hate him, if you have good friends. I think, unfortunately, you guys, so this is such a random story that just popped into my mind. But years ago, one of my good friends was getting married and we were in the room with her looking at her dress. She was trying it on. We're all hyping her up. And the woman in the dress boutique says, "Wow, you have really good friends. We see people come in here all the time. They're trying on their wedding dresses and their friends aren't being kind of underhanded or kind of cutting or not supportive or like a little passive aggressive or really not genuinely supporting them. And that is so sad to me. Like thinking of that is like, I can't not imagine." I've said this once and I'll say it again. I'm not a perfect person. I have done wrong in my life in many categories. I'm a damn good friend. And I stand by that wholeheartedly. I cannot imagine. So I guess it's hard to say because if your friends are shitty friends, but it doesn't sound like that. It sounds like you have good friends who are looking out for you because if you phrased it as you want him to fix things, meaning he has something to fix. And it's not our chance to grow these boys up. Girl, you ain't his mama. So I think you just throw him back in the lake, let him swim along. If all of your friends don't like him, it's probably for good reason, unfortunately. But good news is there's plenty more fish in the sea. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Courtside with Courtney. We could probably do a part two of this one when it comes to other relationship deep dives. Let me know which dating category you guys want me to talk about, whether it's like sliding into their DMs, talking, which I have never done until recently, by the way. A whole other story for another time. But I love you guys. I'll see you in my next episode. Bye.